just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the Cougars. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We host Cougar Sports Saturday every week from noon to 3. And we hold it down here on Monday nights during the football and basketball season, 6 to 7, taking your phone calls to get your voice on your favorite BYU teams, 801-575-8255. Our question tonight, are you panicking on this BYU basketball team after they fall to the Cincinnati Bearcats in game number 1 of Big 12 play? We'll give you our trending up and trending down thoughts on this BYU basketball team coming up, but I wanted to get a quick check-in of the College Football National Championship. Michigan, Matt, is rolling through Washington 17-3 early in the second quarter. Seems like Michigan's going to roll to their first title since 1997.
Hey, there's still hope for a game. Washington finally got a stop, forcing the field goal, so maybe they can go down and make this interesting. Can't have back-to-back years, Mitch, of blowout national championship games. So I am rooting for Washington to make it interesting, but I have to be honest with everyone here. I've got some diehard Ohio State family members, and they get on my nerves from time to time, so I am rooting for Michigan. I have to put that out there. I'm sorry, family. Go Blue!
I'm with you, too, because I'm actually pulling for Michigan as well, because I think the last team we wanted, or last thing we wanted to hear is the Pac-12 went out on top.
Nah, we're not
hearing that. We're not having any of that. Not on Cougar Nation. Let's get now to what's trending up and trending down for Cougar Hoops.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
That was a chef's kiss work of production by our producer,
yes,
Nate Slack. Just magnificent stuff there. All right, Mitch, to start with you, what's trending up?
Atiki Aliatiki, AAA. You know what? I think Atiki is doing a nice job for BYU. And I thought last game against Cincinnati, you kind of got the full Atiki experience in some ways. I mean, he only finished with 2 points, but there were possessions where he's making an impact, especially in that first half when BYU built up a 10-point lead. And I just feel like you're getting to a point with Atiki's game that you can count on him for, you know, 10, 15 minutes a night that are of value. And I think you're thinking that role might diminish a little bit because Foos has returned, but Foos clearly was not 100%. And Atiki Aliatiki's role is going to be significant, I feel like, you know, for the foreseeable future, for this next week or so, because until Foos is anywhere close to his usual self, Atiki's that backup five, and his minutes are valuable. And I like the effort that he's been bringing. At the end of non-conference play, he had back-to-back double-figure point totals for the first time in his BYU career. I know he's been a project for a long time, but in year three, midway through, I like where things are trending for Atiki, and I feel like he's playing his best basketball of his career at the moment.
I like that choice, Mitch. I didn't like how he was being subbed in and out at the end of that game for offense, defense. I get the thought because he's a better defender than Ali Khalifa, but Atiki has had multiple double-digit scoring games, yep, this year. I feel like he's earned a little more leeway on the offensive side of the ball to set screens, to rim run. They sure could have used a few more points of the paint in the loss against Cincinnati. For me, it's Trevin Nell, but not because he had a career night. Dude is shooting lights out over the past 4 games. He's over 50% the last 4 games, and he's made at least 3 3-pointers in 4 consecutive games. So this dude is on a heater, which adds more fuel to the fire as to why he wasn't playing at the end of the second half. Dude is just shooting it lights out. Play this man at least 32 minutes while he's playing like this, because you know how it is with shooters. You're hot for a streak, and then you could go cold. Let's maximize this Trevin Nell hot streak.
Trevin is a great shooter. And honestly, his form is as pure as it gets among BYU basketball shooters of all time. I mean, when he is in rhythm, it is a thing of beauty to watch his stroke, the form, the release. It's textbook. It's perfect. And, you know, it was fun in the preseason, Matt. You and I talked with Trevin, and we were getting into the minutiae of the nuances of different ball types, because he's the shot doctor, and he knows all when it comes to shooting the ball, but he also gets deep into just the what the feel of ball textures. Like, he is all about ball, and I think we underestimated, at least I did, I don't want to speak for you, but I underestimated his impact this year's team. When he came back from that shoulder surgery, I thought, okay, maybe he's going to be a nice X factor off the bench, but he's critical for this team's success. If they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, they've got to have Trevin Nell consistently knocking down threes and playing a big role for this group.
I severely underestimated his impact. And look, he's not the only reason this team has turned things around from the three-point line, but he is a significant piece. Trending down for me is points in the paint. We just talked about it, 12 points in the paint. I just felt like there was no emphasis. They only took 18 two-point attempts. They only had 8 field goals from 2, but 8 of 18 is still better than the field goal percentage they had shot for the game. Just, there has to be an emphasis on attacking the rim, which they've done such a good job of all year. That's why it was so puzzling in this game, is because, yeah, they've shot the three ball well and they've taken a lot of threes, but they've always put pressure on the rim. And it felt like in this game there was very little of that. So that's got to be reversed if they're going to win some games in the Big 12, which they will. I'm not worried they're going to win games, but, man, this is not the winning formula. That many threes and no rim pressure. There's got to be a balance between making the defense honor shots at the rim versus taking long shots.
801-575-8255. Call in to share your thoughts, maybe what's trending up or trending down for you, or as our question states, are you ready to panic? Is it time to panic on this BYU basketball team after they start 0-1 in their first Big 12 game? My trending down, Matt, is three-point shooting. Now, they're going to continue to let it fly. They've got the ultimate green light in college basketball. So the volume is not going to dip. They're going to still hit that minimum of 30 attempts from three. I feel confident in that. But I'm concerned in these big games, and every game in the Big 12 is, in essence, is big, that they're not shooting the three well. Against Cincinnati, it was 28% from three. Against Utah on the road, it was 23% from three. You know, they're in Waco right now, and they're going to take on a Baylor team in a new, brand spanking new, $212 million Foster Pavilion. First ever Big 12 game in that setting. Like, is BYU going to rip the nets and let it fly and have success shooting the ball in that environment? This team has shown this year that they will not shoot it well in that setting. Now, if it's against Bellarmine or it's against Southeast Louisiana, yeah, it's a little bit loose feeling, like no worries. Or it's a lightly attended Thanksgiving night game against ASU. Sure, they're going to shoot it well because really no one's watching. I just think when there's a lot at stake in a game, it feels like this team's not shooting it well, and that's where I'm going to the trending down piece. But I still believe in these guys as shooters. Like, I watch them in practice, and it's just amazing how consistent these guys can knock down the three. You just got to see it carry over into these games against these high-end programs in the Big 12.
Mitch, we got a text, so you can call us, 801-575-8255. Love taking your calls. Keep lighting up the phone line. If you don't want to call, but you got a question or a comment, you can text us, 57500. Here's a question for you. Mitch, why very limited minutes for Dawson Baker?
His foot is still an issue. And for Dawson, this is going to be a point where you wonder, does he have to consider a medical redshirt year? You know, coming out of Christmas, it was after the Bellarmine game, Mark Pope in the post game basically asked, you know, everyone in the media is saying, please give your Christmas prayers for Dawson Baker's foot, because it's a real issue. And, you know, you and I, Matt, we heard the preseason buzz in training camp that Dawson Baker was one of the best players in the program. Not just maybe potential starting five guy, like maybe the best guy in practice, the best player in the team. And you saw moments of it where that ball handling ability, his smooth playmaking in those limited spots that he was in, it's like, wow, that guy is so good. But his foot is bothering him, and it's a real issue. And you just wonder if you're getting to a point where do you entertain the idea, because the NCAA allows a percentage of minutes played. I don't know all the nuances behind it. I have to look into the specific verbatim, but there could be a possibility maybe for a medical redshirt year. So that's where you kind of look at that possibility maybe for Dawson Baker. And that's not ideal because I know for a fact that guy wants to contribute in this Big 12 run, because you can't assume that this team and this success that you had in non-conference this year is always going to be the case every year. It's just, you don't start 12-1 every single year. That's why it's only the second best start in BYU history since 1988. So, it's a tough deal because that guy, when he's fully healthy, he was going to be a difference maker for BYU. And it's just that getting only 3 minutes against Cincinnati, to me, showed that BYU's got to be in a spot where they got to seriously look at his health and make sure that that's at top of mind and get that foot ready for the future.
Which is a real shame because his skill set was sorely needed in the game against Cincinnati. Just someone that could break down a defense and get someone an open shot. There's just very few of those players on this team. Dallin Hall is one of them, but they really could have used that because Trey Stewart's minutes, he was just ineffective against Cincinnati. 4 minutes, 4 turnovers, didn't take a shot. They just, man, if they had him fully healthy to split that role with Dallin Hall at point guard, gosh, it would be a difference maker. So, but I think you're dead on, Mitch. If you're only playing 3 minutes with that skill set, I think he's not healthy enough, and why burn a year if he's not going to be able to give you impactful minutes?
It's a tough deal because he was an all Big West performer at UC Irvine. And, you know, fans listening right now, they're maybe getting up to speed on BYU basketball. You're thinking, who is this Dawson Baker? He's kind of an unknown, but really he was a special player in training camp. And then he suffers the foot injury and he's just been behind the eight ball ever since. But they got to get him healthy. And if it takes a medical redshirt year, they got to explore that avenue for BYU going forward. We got to take our final timeout. On the other side, we'll get a preview of tomorrow's top 25 clash, BYU and Baylor. And we'll also take your phone calls, 801-575-8255. Your thoughts, is it time to panic? Is this BYU team going to win tomorrow? Share your thoughts, 801-575-8255, right here on Cougar Nation on KSL News Radio.